Today I'm proclaiming the word of the Lord from the Psalm, Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word to us, fill us with your Spirit, so that we may place our trust in you and walk on the paths you set before us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with these words that come about halfway through today's psalm. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Now, of course, the key word in this part of the psalm is the word remember. It's a big word in Scripture, and it's one worth dwelling on as we get into today's psalm. Because sometimes as modern people, we can think especially that remembering is primarily an act of the mind. That it's in the world of theory, not in the world of practice. But that's not how it is in Scripture, and very often, in fact, in everyday life, it's not how it is either. Think about this. You've lost your keys. You're searching everywhere for them. Then you remember where you left them. Do you stand there contemplating your memory? When you remember, you act. You go straight to find your keys where you left them, where you remember you left them. Likewise, let's say you're talking with a friend and you suddenly remember it's their birthday. What do? You act. You do something. At least you say happy birthday to them. The link between remembering and action exists in our own experience as human beings. When we read this word in Scripture regarding God, we know that it's a word of action, that when God remembers, God will do something. Now keep this in mind as we go through the psalm today, that God's remembering is action. This is what we heard at the beginning of the psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. We'll come back to this word shame later on. First of all, though, the psalm is one of trust, of someone who trusts in God. If you were to think about it in body language terms, think about someone lifting up their hands to God and presenting their whole selves to God in trust. If you get that picture, that body language picture, you can get some idea of where the psalmist is coming from. Someone who is entrusting themselves to God in the midst of their enemies. Now, as is normal in the psalms, the enemies aren't named. And it's good for us as Christian people to remember that, as St. Paul says, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There is a spiritual struggle going on. We know this as Christian people. And it's only God who can deliver us from evil. So the psalmist asks for God's help. Listen to what he says. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Notice the basic attitude or outlook of the psalmist in this psalm. It's someone who wants to know God's will and to walk on the path that God has set out. Now contrast this, by the way, with someone who comes to God in prayer seeking to have their own wishes or desires validated, and to have their own chosen way approved of by God. That's quite different to what's going on in today's psalm. And we'll come back to this point later on too. Now then, we get the words I quoted at the beginning of the sermon. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. First of all, the psalmist wants God to remember, to act on his, that is, God's mercy and steadfast love. Notice, by the way, that he repeats this request that God remember his steadfast love. So the psalmist is coming before God, asking for help, based not on his own goodness or merit or anything that he's done, but on the basis of who God is. Now here, the psalmist is making use of God's name as it was revealed on Mount Sinai. This is what we read about in Exodus chapter 34 when God revealed his glory to Moses. It's God's sermon, if you like, on his own name, telling his people what his name means so that they can make use of it. This is God's sermon on his own name, Exodus 34. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God reveals what his name means. It means that he is one who is gracious and merciful, who is slow to anger. He abounds in steadfast love. He puts his reputation on the line here. This is who I am. He is one who is generous in this love and who restrains his vengeance. And so the psalmist comes to God, entrusts himself to God on the basis of who God is. He asks God to act according to his name, according to his nature, to be merciful, to show steadfast love. But did you notice that the psalmist also asked God not to remember some things, not to act on some things, that is? Let's hear it again. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. In other words, God, don't act in judgment on me for the things I did when I was immature. Don't take vengeance on me because of my sins. Now, the psalmist does not specify what the sins of his youth were. And no doubt, we can fill in blanks from our own lives about the sins of our youth. However, the context suggests, at least to me, that perhaps the main part of the sins of his youth was an unwillingness to be taught by God. That he was youthfully rebellious when it came to receiving instruction from God. Don't remember what I was like then, please God. Because listen to how he goes on. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. Notice, by the way, in the psalm how the sinners and the humble are brought together. They are together instructed and led by God. Now, we might think that the sinners and the humble would be two different, even opposing groups. But in the Psalms, it's clear that all have sinned, even God's holy ones. This is also part of our New Testament teaching. As St. Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No, in the Psalms, as for us, the contrast is not between those who have sinned and those who have not sinned, but between those who confess they have sinned and those who do not. Between those who honor God's word and those who do not. Between those who let God teach them and those who won't. We hear this same sort of thing in Isaiah. Listen to God's word. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is my resting place? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things are mine, says the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, to the humble and contrite in spirit who trembles at my word. This is Isaiah chapter 66. The text goes on, listen in. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your own people who hate you and reject you for my name's sake have said, let the Lord be glorified so that they may see your joy. It's a mocking statement. But it is they who shall be put to shame. This is the same sort of language that we have in today's psalm. It gives us encouragement to admit that we have sinned, to listen in reverent fear to God's word and to be taught by him, to entrust ourselves to God and to let God deliver us from evil. Now, to close the sermon, I'll return to the last words of today's assigned psalm selection. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For those who keep his covenant and his decrees, this can indeed sound burdensome as last words for a psalm, until we remember the way that God fulfills his covenant among us. Sunday by Sunday, we meet together as God's people and celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that this remembering is simply a mental act, right? As we meet together and as we remember, we take bread, we take wine, we eat the body of Christ and we drink his blood. And in keeping this covenant, what do we receive? The forgiveness of sins. Our Lord Jesus leads us in a remembering that gives us the grace of God, that gives us forgiveness as a gift, that teaches us who God is so that we may walk on the paths of God. So that even when we can no longer remember ourselves, when our bodies and minds give out, there is one who remembers us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Since we have this Saviour who remembers us in our need, who delivers us from evil, let us wholly entrust ourselves to him, receive his word and hand it on faithfully and live joyfully with the gift of his gracious presence with us. And I proclaim this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.